today's training is one of my favorite. It's the AMA takeaways of the month. AMA stands for Ask Me Anything and Give Me Your Takeaway for the Month instead. Either one, either or both are fine with me, but we get more out of what we do when we're looking for the light, the love, and most importantly, the lesson. And the lessons will keep on coming, of course, until we learn them. There is a big difference between knowledge and wisdom, and wisdom is what can be remembered. Knowledge is something that we learn. What we learn can be caught or taught, determined upon who you are and how best you learn. And so let's try to teach and get taught and speak and allow those pearls of wisdom to be caught. Let's take some questions live. Who and what do we got? Nick of Wong.
Yes, sir. I would actually love to kick it back to you, if you would not mind. Would you share your takeaway of the month to help get us started?
Yeah, my takeaway of the month was from one of the kids who went to college with me, played quarterback at my college, and had a very similar experience playing college sports that I did. And 133,000 kids every single year who play college sports will become professional in something else other than sports. Although I became a professional in the business of sports and continue to do so. But my biggest takeaway was from Michael Lopez, who wrote this incredible book called Change. And I talk about the 1,000 steps and probably will utilize that as an example answering questions today about everything takes 1,000 steps and how time is relative in those steps, and our perception of commitment is even more importantly. But it was so well summed up by Michael Lopez, who wrote that book, Change, when he said, things happen, David, very slowly, then all of a sudden. And that is an incredible takeaway, that things will happen very, very slowly, and then all of a sudden. And it's inherent and reconciled with the 1,000 steps that it takes and how long it takes to get to the 1,000 steps. That it takes so much time, effort, money, emotion, and value, and it happens so slowly, and then it happens all of a sudden. And that's why you don't want to quit. That's why you want to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, because things happen so slowly. Then they happen all of a sudden. Speaking of which, it just happened all of a sudden. Nick, I'm going to turn it on to you. What's your takeaway of the day?
Absolutely.
Or month, sorry, a week, whatever the fuck.
My takeaway is something that I've been working on a little bit, and that is pertaining to what is, I guess, the category of what is self-worth. And it was the good reminder that David and Clint Sparks, as much as he always has a different perspective on things, they were doing a fireside chat a long time ago at SoFi, and there's a quote that was shared, and it always comes back to me in terms of one of those lessons that you have learned, you forget, but it's always within you, and it just needs to come back with through you, and that lesson is, be careful what you say, because you're always listening. And it's the importance of, even whether it's a limiting belief, anything that's not in alignment with the trajectory that you want to be on or you think you want to be on, leading towards what you think you want in the future, that if there's any type of interference, even if you're just saying it to yourself, there it is, Dave, I see you on screen, I love my wife. If there's any interference that's created from that, it is definitely not going to empower you to continue to pursue that potential. And it's something for me just to have those reminders of positive reaffirmations. And as if you change the way that you're talking to yourself, or the change the way that you look at things, the things that you look at, or the results are definitely going to change. So that was definitely my takeaway of the month this month. And with that said, I know the chat is absolutely blowing up, and we have a lot of requests here up on Clubhouse as well. So to share their takeaway of the month, it's time to get Swifty. I'm going to pass it over to our good friend, Mr. Brian Swift. Happy Thursday. Thank you for joining us for Friday Training on Thursday. Feel free to unmute yourself and share that takeaway.
Awesome. Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Dave. So, Dave, I think you said this, and this kind of goes to your takeaway. What is the timing, or how fast does progress go? And I believe you said the answer was never fast enough. And I use that to remind myself so often, when you feel like you're not getting anywhere, that it's never going to be fast enough. So that was one of my takeaways, along with, take control of my pain by measuring and reducing it. I think that's so key. So that was my other takeaway. And then a quick question would be, I know that you have grown and driven so many people and funds into your 501c3 nonprofit. What has been part of your success with doing that?
It's the same thing that makes me successful and the other things that I want to do. And it's being intentional with a definite purpose every single day, 7 days a week, in person, on the phone, via email, traditional social media, every single day. Every single day, living in the infinite loop, reminding, remembering, and recollecting everyone in our network, letting it build to find each day an ambassador that will bring on more ambassadors to whatever purpose or cause that 501c3 is. And when I just give it a minimum amount of time each day, so giving being the chief chancellor of junior achievement, every single day I give that a minimum amount of time. Being the chairman of the Unstoppable Foundation, I give that a minimum amount of time. And of course, being chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, I give that a minimum amount of time, 7 days a week, and then use the circumstances of the other time, the negotiable time, to add to that minimum as the circumstances require and the prioritization according to those circumstances exist. And so too many people think there's a magical formula. There is no formula other than assigning time as a non-negotiable, which means you're committed to doing it every single day and giving it a minimum amount of time, with paying attention to that charitable 501c3 and giving it your intention every day for a minimum amount of time. I have activities in alignment with the divine direction of where I want to be for that purpose or cause, to be intentional, to do what I need to do, to say what I need to say, to think what I need to think, to believe what I need to believe so I feel it. Feeling is the codification and confirmation that I am aligned with the coincidences, the coinciding, the protection, promotion, love, and perfection of my intention, of my definiteness of purpose. And so for me, it's a very simple formula of how I progress. And yes, all of my progressions are equally as slow as yours, and then they happen all of a sudden. It's amazing how much progress I made when I look behind me. It's amazing how it's amazing how little progress I make when I look before me and what I want to become. And I do want to comment on something that you said. If you could repeat your takeaway about quantifying pain, I'd love to hear that one more time so I can comment on that as well, if you would mind.
No, take control of your pain by measuring and reducing it, because the time you spend in pain is within your control. So start measuring it and the activity to reduce it.
Yeah.
And then when you acknowledge the pain but refuse to dwell on it, it frees up your energy to take more positive actions and move forward, which is, I couldn't have stated it any better, which has been a philosophy my whole life. But I mean, the words you put it in were so succinct. Absolutely love it. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I will comment on that pain, because you're really getting it. Inherent in the way that you explain that is something has changed my life. I explain it a little differently, but it means the exact same thing. Pain is omnipresent. In order for our purpose to be greater than our pain, we need to quantify the amount of time we spend interfering with where we want to be. And so when pain becomes present in our lives, when we become aware of a pain, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional pain, we react to it as part of the ego's purpose, is to react to pain. And whether you're Freud or others who have studied scientifically the ego, edging goodness, God, or gold out of your life, whatever you want it to do, it's interfering with the more than enough, with the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that we all belong to. In the context of what Brian is saying, is if we can identify the clues and the patterns of how we react to this pain and utilize time to quantify as a measurement how we can increase the ease and decrease the dis-ease by identifying how much time am I spending in pain. And the only way we can identify how we are spending time in pain is the reaction to it, the need to be right, the need to be offended, the need to be separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, worried, etc. And so the brilliance in understanding the omniscience and the all-powerful and clearing the interference by looking for the clues and the pattern and the interference and the reaction to pain allows us to make divine choices, divine direction, and that detour becomes divine in itself by utilizing divine time with the patience and humility to allow ourselves to know that progress looking forward always looks slow. And then it happens all of a sudden, especially as you look back. Brian Swift, you are a great member. Please join our private networking group with the billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers like Brian Swift. You can have an unbelievable neighborhood of people. If you feel alone, join our neighborhood of people that want to help each other and know people that help each other, that can articulate the ideas in a different way that may resonate better with you than something I may have said that is confusing the shit out of you. There's great people like Brian Swift bringing some great clarity and focus and intention to some critical life ideas to help everyone progress. Brian Swift, thank you so much, my friend. I will talk to you soon. Nick of Wam, my well-oiled machine, let's keep this party rocking.
Thank you,
Nico. Thank you, me. Love you, buddy. Thank you. I got a ton of questions, dude. This community is curious and creative. So I also have takeaways. Let me, since that was a takeaway, let me get one of these questions. So not just what's up, Dave. I like that question. What's the greatest lesson you've learned in sales? I like that question. The greatest lesson I've learned in sales is the three no rule. The three no rule is the greatest question that lesson I learned in sales, because the most amount of time, energy, emotion, money, and value is wasted not giving people permission to say no, not giving people permission to change their mind. Even though we know when we come to agreement of any kind, oral, written, implied, even with consideration, which is payment, even in those circumstances, the minute we come to that type of decision slash agreement, time, emotion, value changes instantly. But yet we have no mechanism at all in order to facilitate the change. So we hold people to a construct, to a defining moment that is unrealistic. Now, according to rules, regulations, and laws, circumstances that are far beyond the infinite, meaning man-made constructs like mortgages and sales of a car, where we need a contractual obligation in order to have some sort of resemblance of an agreement. I prefer in sales to work within the realm of the three no rule, where you and I come to an agreement or a decision of what we're going to do next, leaving the door open as a virtual handshake, as a modern day handshake. This is the basis of the overlap agreement that is a memorialization, a reminder of how we can help each other and know people that can help each other, including how we can pay each other and sell for each other. This is the greatest lesson in sales, is to be able to allow people to change their mind or to say no. So if somebody tells me, yes, I want to move forward, call me on Friday at 2, and I call them on Friday at 2 and they don't answer, that's one no. And then, of course, I'm going to call back at 5 o'clock. Now I've taken out all the wasted time, emotion, energy, and value, wondering when I should call back again, if I'm going to be too pushy, quote unquote. No, you made a commitment. We made a decision. We have memorialized decision to call you at 2 o'clock on Friday. I'm now calling you Friday at 5 o'clock. And if you tell me you're too busy, that's two no's. I then let you know I'm going to call you back on Monday. You say, fine. I call you back on Monday at 9 a.m., and once again, you tell me, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not ready. I got to get this stuff done with my kids. My dog ate my homework, et cetera, et cetera. Once again, I didn't waste any time over the weekend worrying about when I should call you back or if the deal was going to close or you really were serious about moving forward or not. It didn't matter to me because I know the time, emotion, and value is constantly changing every time you tell me when to call you back and every agreement and decision that's made in my life. I cannot stop time, change, or emotion. affecting as a circumstance the opportunity that we've discussed. And so on the third no, with exceptions determined upon the relativity and association I have with the person, but basically on the third no, all I do is leave a message. Obviously, this isn't the right time. When, call me back when it is. Obviously, it's not the right time. Call me back when it is the most powerful thing in sales, because it does a duplicative value and increases your productivity, your accessibility, and your gratitude. By giving someone permission to change their mind because of the time, emotion, and value that has changed, we now accelerate the sales cycle for someone that is truly interested, even though time, emotion, and value has changed. And it allows the people that never were going to say yes, the people that cost us the most time, emotion, and money, to fall away. By utilizing the lesson of the three no rule, we can not only accelerate the sales cycle with the people that are interested, but we can decipher and qualify the people that aren't at this time and still allow them with an open mind and open heart to continue to germinate and grow and to accelerate within the context of our community. When they are ready, they will call as well, saving us the valuable time, the valuable emotions, and the valuable money that is wasted every day in sales by people trying to do something that is not aligned with the divine. Utilize the three no rule. If anybody would like the three no rule, I'll give that lesson and exercise. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. The three no rule will change your life. It will double, triple, quadruple your productivity and your revenue. Awesome. What a great question. Nick of the WOM, you are amazing. It is always good that you wake up early to join me. And if you wouldn't mind, please let me know who's up next.
No place I'd rather be you. And David, you are amazing. Next up, we have the incredible Chris Cushing, and then we will pass it over to Chris Victoria. But Chris, with that said, happy, happy Thursday. Thanks for joining our Friday training on Thursday. Feel free to unmute yourself and share your takeaway or whatever question you may have.
Hey, good morning, David. Thank you both for being here. I don't know that I have a specific takeaway. I think for me, just starting on this journey with you all, that started, I guess, pre-CreativeCon, but certainly at CreativeCon, is giving me direction. It's helping me let go of the things that don't serve me. And I'm more determined than ever to succeed in my business as a virtual assistant. So I guess my takeaway is a thank you.
I love that takeaway. That may be the best takeaway that we can have. And let me tell you why, Chris. As complex as some of the things that Brian and Swift and I were talking about, and the layers of awareness and the variable degrees of vernacular in the articulation of ideas, quantifying subjective behaviors is quite complex and confusing. And the impact is minimal and diminished comparatively to what you just said. As silly as it may have sounded, as Chris has joined our group, our neighborhood, and is benefiting here and other places with the people in our neighborhood that want to help each other and know people that help each other, don't forget, we must remember and remind ourselves and recollect with this gratitude. Because as simple as it is, and I will repeat myself to be not only a great leader, but to be annoying, which is one of the greatest attributes of a leader, to be repetitive and honest. Say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up. But the simple things like saying thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up, the simple things to do are simple not to do. And I want to reinforce the simplest thing to do to change your life and impact you exponentially is to do what Chris just did, which is simply just to say thank you. I wrote a forward to a book recently called Imagine If. And the person that wanted me to write the book, is he had seen a video of mine that said, imagine if everyone on earth, when they saw a piece of trash, put it where it was supposed to be. Imagine it. The simplest thing to have everybody on earth, just when they see a piece of trash, to put it in its appropriate place. Imagine what that would do to the earth. It would clear the skies and clear the ground. It would improve the soil. It would improve our water. It would do so many. The simple thing of imagine if you and everyone else in the world would, when they saw a piece of trash, just like when they breathe in, they breathe out, would pick up that trash and put it in its appropriate place. Not that difficult. Almost, and I repeat, almost everyone on earth can do so. Imagine what impact that would have. But as great as that sounds, imagine if everybody on earth said thank you before they went to bed and when they woke up. We clear the skies. It'd improve our soil. It would help them pick up the trash. Imagine if we just said thank you. It takes 0.1 seconds and it's free. It's simple to do. Everyone on earth, unlike picking up trash, everyone on earth can at least think it. Everybody on earth can at least in their minds in 0.1 seconds say thank you. And when they wake up, say thank you. Imagine if everybody on earth did that. Imagine the impact it would have on everybody on earth simply by saying thank you. And everyone on earth can do it, and everyone on earth agrees that saying thank you has incredible impact on their lives, including Chris and me and everybody that's here today on our Friday training that exists on Thursday, proving that time is relative. Not why I really did it. I'm flying to Spain, so it was easier to do on Thursday. But nonetheless, say thank you. As much as that may resonate with you, as much as you may agree with it, half of us tonight won't say thank you. By tomorrow morning, another half of us won't say thank you. And within 3 days, by the next time we meet on Friday training or Wednesday training or Ask Me Anything Mondays or any of the other lives that I do, that questions and answers of a variety of different places that I am every day in person, on the phone, via email, social media. Despite all of that, within 3 days, almost all of us will forget to say thank you. I want to be the reminder. I want to be the remembrance. I want to be the recollector to remind, remember, and recollect all of us in our private networking group and our outside potential neighbors to say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up. What a great takeaway, maybe inadvertent in its nature, but divine in its direction. Chris, we are blessed to have you. Thank you for reminding, remembering, recollecting us in gratitude.
Thank you, David.
You're awesome. I love that. All right, Nick of Wammer, what do you want me to do?
So we just passed halftime, so I'm going to do a quick little reset of the room here. Welcome, everybody. Today, we are doing some Friday training on Thursday, and the topic for today is takeaway of the month or ask me anything. So as you join stage here today, or if you're joining us online, please make sure that you either have your takeaway ready to share or a question ready to ask. Now, with that said, David, let's keep this train and this party rocking and rolling. We got Chris Victoria, who is here patiently waiting and up next. So, Chris, happy, happy Thursday. It's great to see you. Thank you so much. I know you've been joining us on tour with the Aspire Business Tour. So we thank you for showing up and joining our community. Feel free to unmute yourself and either ask or share away.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm so excited and happy to be here. I'm glad Clubhouse is coming back.
Don't even call it a comeback. We've been here for years.
Somehow I got lost in between.
Yeah.
And David, thank you so much. I really experienced that piece as you were explaining that. And my biggest takeaway is actually something that I've been personally working on myself. I'll share something that kind of puts it in peace, and then I'll share on top of that. So change is certain, seasons shift, people evolve, and life moves in unexpected currents. While change is constant, growth is a choice, and that growth must be anchored, because without roots, even the tallest tree will fall. true foundation isn't built on trends, emotions, or temporary highs. It's built on values, those unseen pillars that hold you upright when the winds of life try to bend you. Values like faith, integrity, loyalty, resilience, and these are not just virtues, they are structure. They are a blueprint of legacy. Change may shake you, but values will stabilize you. They are your compass in chaos, your clarity in confusion, your strength when everything else feels uncertain. And when you build your life on values, you don't just survive change, you transcend through it. So speaking on that topic, my biggest takeaway this month is to really create some core values, because change is definitely certain, and sometimes I like to go into the flow of everything, but to really build something foundational is to set and build a legacy for yourself and also be able to ground yourself in everyday life and change around you.
That is a brilliant takeaway to review for all of us. And in the context of knowing your core values, that's where I started in 2006, almost 20 years ago, when my wife told me to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And it stemmed from those four values, the almost 20-year journey that we're on that has led to 26 years of these Friday trainings that sometimes are on Wednesday, once in a while Thursdays, and of course, most of the time on Fridays. To be able to know your values, you then can create non-negotiables. You create non-negotiables to take the circumstances out of the equation and to live your life for a certain amount of time each day according to your core values, non-circumstantially. And it's not as hard as it sounds. I live half of my life in non-circumstantial behavior, what I call non-negotiable behavior. 8 hours on sleep, minimum of an hour on my health, which includes everything harmoniously from cardio to stretching to strength to diet and water and sleep. You know, I make sure every day on my health that I put the intention into the things I need to live. And you know, you only need 4 things to live, 5 to live well. You only need 4 things to live and 5 to live well. 1, you need air. You need to practice breathing, have a breathing coach, study breathing. 2, you need food, have a nutrition coach. You need to eat properly. 3 is water. Have a hydration coach, understand the conductive nature of water and electricity and current and energy. Sleep, have a sleep coach, have a sleep plan. If you don't eat, drink, sleep, or breathe, you die. So we want to focus in that minimum of an hour a day as a non-negotiable, making sure that we cover our sleep and our water and our food and our breathing. And if you want to live well, then move as much as you can. So beyond the 8 hours of sleep and the 1 hour of health, then we get to family, spending a non-negotiable amount of time every single day on my family. I have a TV show to film, and I got home late last night from being in Vegas filming Office Hours, season 8, launching season 7 at the end of the week. And I have Go Fund Yourself filming today, and the executive producer, you know, they have all these big networks coming in and everything's so important and so rushed. And at the last minute, they said, you need to be here at 7 a.m. And I said, no, I don't need to be there. What I need to do is make sure that I have my non-negotiables done. And if you need to replace me, that is fine. That is fine. That is fine, because I need to spend time with my son. I need to make sure I get my workout in. I need to make sure that I sleep enough. And nothing is going to change that as a priority, as a non-negotiable. And I will be there at 8:30, ready to go. And it is amazing when you know your core values and you create daily practices from those core values in an execution model in a divine direction, how all these detours become divine as well. And you live within the context of divine time, not some man-made constructed time. And so when you utilize those great core values, you will know your non-negotiables. And then you can practice, after you know your core values and your non-negotiables, you can practice your relationship with circumstance and create a great superpower called prioritization. prioritization, the antidote to feeling overwhelmed, the antidote to procrastination, two of the great interferences and drifting mechanisms of the hypnotic rhythm that destroys the human existence for 98% of the people. But for you, understanding these core values, for me, those core values are very simple. Gratitude, it will give you perspective. Empathy, it will create ease. Accountability will give you control. And effective communication will allow you to clear the interference between you and the omniscient, all-powerful, and all-knowing that loves you, protects you, promotes you, and perfects you. It will be the core values that create I am, not this is what I want people to think I am. It is the core values that allow you every morning to say thank you, every night to say thank you. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? This is the core. Know your values. Know your non-negotiables. Everything else will dissipate the dis-easy and make your life easy. What a great takeaway. I want a copy of that poem, passage, whatever you want to define it as. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's go with a takeaway. Although someone asked the question, how do you ask a question? So that is the most ironic question that's on here. Think about that, Nick. No, is that as funny to you as it is to me that somebody actually posted up there, how do I ask a question? You just did.
Literally, you just did. Or I think it's as simple as just ask.
Imagine if you just change the words of that question to another question and do the exact same thing. I would love to have that. And I'm just teasing. I hope you don't have a need to be offended, but that one perplexed me when I was going through all the questions. all right. Takeaway. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I love this place. Takeaway for the month. Clarity begins where judgment ends. That's a deep, deep takeaway. Clarity, which to me means diminishing interference between you and the truth, you and your divine direction, you and the all information and all energy, which we call omniscient and all powerful source that makes you a better resource. So within the context of the takeaway for the month, clarity begins where judgment ends. Inherent within that statement is that judgment must be interfering with the truth. Judgment, inclusive of comparison, is a thief of the truth. It's the thief of joy. It's the thief of the source interfering with you as a resource. Clarity only begins where judgment ends would indicate that judgment itself is such a great interference, such a great dis-ease that it barely lets any light, love, and lessons through in order to incorporate the clarity in the divine direction. And so as we create judgment, a perception of what we think about other people or what we think about what other people think, and the perception that they have of us and what they think that we think. Lies, comparative, judgment, blame, shame, and justification. A great dis-ease from the omniscient and all-powerful, from the all-information and all-energy is quite simply judgment, comparative thought, in a perception of what other people think or what we think they think, or a perception of what they think of us or what they think we think. And herein lies the beginning of clarity and harmony. And so I think this takeaway, which has many layers of awareness attached to it, in its essence should be a reminder, a recollection, a remembrance of when we are judging, it is simply a perception of others and the perception of others, what they think, what we think they think. When we judge, it is our perception of others or our perception of what other people think we, of a perception of what we think other people think. And that will steal your joy. That will create great dis-ease, interference. It is the clouds between you and the clarity, the truth, the divine direction. It will remain as a detour to accelerate, interfere with you in the wrong direction. Instead of the divine, time, detours, directions, all to be a greater resource to dissipate, dissolve, as Brian Swift said earlier, the amount of time that we're spending in interference. Clarity begins where judgment ends. Let's work on our perception of others and our perceptions of what we think other people think. Have the JOMO and the JOPO, the joy of other people's opinion and the joy of missing out, not the fear of other people's opinions and the fear of what we're missing out. These judgments must end in order to increase the light, the love, and the lessons that brings the clarity, the harmony, the balance, and the focus. Awesome takeaway for the month, week, or day. I don't care. Thank you for that unbelievable takeaway. Nick of Wam, speaking of time, we're coming into the last 10 minutos here on Friday training on Thursdays.
Yes, we are coming into the last 10 minutes here, and we have our good friend Mo, who is also a part of our private networking community here, who's patiently waiting. So, Mo, thank you for your patience, my friend. It's always great to see you. Feel free to unmute yourself and share your takeaway or whatever question you have for David.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, good to be here. I was just taking in all the positivity and all the nice things that has been said. Thanks, David, for creating this whole network. This seems like a very awesome place to be part of. I'm not really sure my takeaway. I don't really know how to, because this is my first time, I don't really know how to speak about any of this, but I guess if I had to like point out one thing that stood out to me was how hard it is to close certain doors that you left open for so long. And because you trusted them to be open for so long, and we do this in childhood and we're like little, we close a lot of doors pretty quickly, but because our, I guess attachment, reliance, or whatever you want to call it to these open doors when we grow up is so much more tied into our logic and our you know, grown up perception that it's just so much harder to let go because we feel like we know everything. It's just so much harder to close those doors while all these other doors are just begging for you to close that door. And they're even, you know, cracking open. They're like showing you what's behind them in terms of like the light that is coming in and the blessings and everything. And then this one door that you need to close. It's so hard to close sometimes because of the emotional investment, because of the whatever value you assign to it, that you are just, it's just so hard for you to let go. And just processing that is just like, it's not as easy as if you were like a little kid. You're like, okay, well, it's part of growing up.
Well, we're always growing up, and you did a fine job of articulating a question with a takeaway. And yeah, it was good. And please, we'd love you to join our community. So email me and anyone that wants to join, david@dmeltzer.com. We do something every day. You have access to me, and not only the introductions from me, but access to the clarity and the dummy text that I've been able to experience in my journey. Closing doors relates back to the selling advice that I gave earlier. Faith is important. There's two things that will shorten this distance of resistance that you're having to closing the door. And we want to shorten that distance. And the distance is created by time. And we can measure the lapse of time between what we think and what happens. There's a lapse of time, and that's a linear time, a man-made 24 hours that everyone's guaranteed every day of their life, except for the last day of their life, they'll be cheated. And in the context of closing doors, we have to have faith, because wisdom or logic or analysis is never going to close the door. It is only faith that will close the door. That although the wisdom and the logic and the analysis is telling us we need to close the door, that the relativity association and the feeding and bleeding has diminished so greatly that we need to close the door and we need to move on. But yet there's emotion, effort, time, and value, whether it's for a business or a relationship, it doesn't matter. It's time to move on, to expand the skills, knowledge, and desire relative to that situation, event, person, circumstance, software, solution. Doesn't matter. It's time to expand the skills, knowledge, and desire that we've ascertained into something new, bigger, better, and brighter that allows this simply to be a divine detour to protect, promote, love, and perfect us. It doesn't mean it's not going to cost us time. It doesn't mean it's not going to be emotionally expensive. It doesn't mean that it will not be or seem to diminish the value of what we've spent on it. But with faith, we know that it's putting us in a better position, a better situation for the divine direction that we are leading. And it's so hard as we get older to close doors, especially because the lapse of time between the creation of the relativity of the employment or the relationship or the business has created this resistance because of the analysis, the wisdom, the knowledge that we've accrued into that situation or circumstance or relationship or relativity of that relationship. But nonetheless, when we have faith and we determine through logic, intuition, intelligence, and inspiration that it is time to articulate this is not the right time to move further and forward anymore. When it is, I will let you know. That's how we close the door. There's so many different quotes out there about if you love something, you got to let it go. Within the context of that statement lies the wisdom and faith that shortens the distance of resistance so that we can allow things to fall away or close the door. I encourage you to utilize the knowledge and the wisdom, but have faith and go ahead and let that situation, person, place, thing, event, let that thing go and let them know this isn't the right time, but when it is, I'll let you know. Does that sound fair?
Yes. I think you hit the nail on the head. However, I think the thing that I was actually, maybe this will give you more context, but you know, think of it as someone who you put so much value in their judgment and in their, and this is just a friend who you go to as a, you know, sort of like a mentor, a big brother. Maybe they're not even age wise bigger than you. Or older than you, but you put so much weight in their opinion and value, and you know, they give you one of the worst advices in your life without any context, and you jump to conclusion, and you just suddenly, all of a sudden, after years and years of like knowing them and trusting them for whatever reason, maybe you trauma bonded, whatever, it just kind of falls apart, and you're like, oh wow, this is totally not, you know, you just kind of like grew apart from them. You realize.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. Yep, through the analysis, the wisdom, the knowledge that you've gained, this now is not the right time anymore. But when it is, you'll let them know. And just take accountability. You know, remember, people give us bad advice that love us the most. And the reason they give us bad advice is that they do love us the most. So they're more afraid for us than we are for ourselves. Or we're more trusting of them because we love them. And it creates a situation of ignorant arrogance where they don't know what they don't know. And you know they don't know what they don't know because you don't know what you don't know. But we pretend like we do. Instead of understanding the ignorant humility of explaining, I really don't know what I don't know, but here's how I would align it with my time and risk tolerance. Here's how I would align it with my values. Here I align it with my daily practices. This is how it's aligned in the circumstances of today. But instead of looking at the framework in which we give advice, so many of us, when we have a trusted, loving relationship, we give advice with ignorant arrogance out of good intention. Now, there are attackers and trolls out there that are ignorant, arrogant, but they're obvious and stupid. They are easy to understand when they tell you that you stole gratitude from Gary Vee. You know that's silly. But when your mom tells you the internet's a fraud and it'll never work and you shouldn't take a job in the internet, that it's going to be the biggest fad ever and you're wasting your life, you should be grateful that your mom loves you that much and she's so afraid for you. She'd rather you be stuck in a corner office at a law firm making $1,000 an hour, limiting yourself from millions of dollars an hour you could make. It's ridiculous. But don't blame them. Take accountability for the advice that you keep. Most advice I let sink through my hands like a handful of sand. I only hold on to the nuggets that are aligned with my values, daily practices, the circumstances of the day, my prioritization of negotiables and non-negotiables, quite simply taking accountability of what did I do to be responsible for that? What did I do to attract that to me? What did I do to participate in the perception? And most importantly, what am I supposed to learn from it? Therefore, forgiving that person's perceptions, either of me or the situation, and praying that they'll forgive me for mine. This has been the Friday training on Thursday. This is a takeaway of the day, the Ask Me Anything takeaway of the day. Please join us. We're available every day. We'll be back on Monday. We have an Ask Me Anything. We have our networking meeting as well. So if you haven't joined that, david@dmeltzer.com. So please join us. Wednesday, the Napoleon Hill training, and then Friday trainings over 26 years as well. Every single day will be available on IG, LinkedIn, TikTok, answering questions. Reach out to us, YouTube. We have many TV shows, speeches, meetings, holding courts. Come and join us at all the different amazing masterminds that we're doing. So come and meet us. We would love to meet up there. But most importantly, join our neighborhood. David@dmeltzer.com. Nick of Guam, close out the room, please, and review where and how and everything going on before we let everybody go. God bless you. Remember, most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.